Amen, amen, amen. I'll try it again. Amen, 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 amen. Well, good evening. It is February 16th, which is an incredible, incredible day. It is my 28th wedding anniversary. My wife's back there. Happy anniversary, babe. We're celebrating our anniversary with you all tonight. A couple of housekeeping things I need to get out of the way before we get started. One is our supplier this week, our paper supplier this week, we had some problems with them, so your inserts may not be hole punched. Some of you need these to be hole punched because you put them inside the binder that we sell out at the information booth. If you need yours hole punched and it's not, you can get one at the information booth. When you get out of here tonight, they'll have some that are hole punched out there. I just want to make sure. So some people are very anal about those hole punches. If you don't have one, you can get them out there at the information booth. Also, just a reminder, in 2 weeks, we start a brand new series called I Love LA. And that weekend, we're going to be giving out a t-shirt to every single person that's here. It's an I Love LA t-shirt that we've designed. It is a very, very nice t-shirt. I wrote the check last week. It is a nice t-shirt. So you want to be here, but here's the deal. You can only get one if you're here. That is the only way you can get one. So 2 weeks when you come, don't try to get one for your wife or your kids or your dog or anything else. You're only getting one for you. So 2 weeks, be sure and be here to get this cool t-shirt that we have. And again, it's a series called I Love LA. And we want you to sign up for a life group. As you leave tonight, you'll see people in green shirts. You can ask them about how you can get into a life group. And we want everybody in a life group. And it's not that much work. If I can drive around LA with a red wig on in a video for you all to encourage you to love LA, you can sign up for a life group and get into a life group. So tonight's a good opportunity to do that. Find somebody at the green shirt and you can get into a life group. And really that whole I Love LA series, we're going to be talking about impacting LA. We're going to be looking at the beaches, Hollywood, you know, different things here in LA, the highways, the freeways. We really do, and it really comes from our senior pastor, have a desire to impact this city in a major way. And that series sort of ties into this series. We're in a series called Kings. We're really talking about stewardship. We're talking about being obedient to God's word in how we handle our money. And if we can lean into this series, and if you lean into this series, that's what allows us to impact and love LA. We give not just to keep the lights on here, which we do that, but we do that to extend Christ's love into this city. And we showed you a little video last weekend of something we've done with Hope of the Valley. We could show you a video like that every week. You know, I'm embarrassed that we don't share more of what we do. Because every week there's something going on outside this church. This week we helped a church down in North Hollywood called Mosaic get into a new building. We funded a room up at the Poverty Experience at Children's Hunger Fund. There's things every week we're doing outside these walls that we're doing because you do what you do and being obedient to God's word. So this series, we're challenging you to, again, read God's word, to dive into God's word, and to lean into what he tells us to do with our money. So we want you to stay engaged in that. Now, I have the privilege of introducing our guest preacher tonight. And I'll tell you a couple things about this gentleman. His name is Dale Oquist. He's from Fresno, California. And you've heard of Fresno, one, because it's in California, it's because of the city, but partly because Dudley's brother, David, has a church in Fresno, and Dudley's dad is in Fresno. And David and Dale have the two biggest churches in Fresno. Dale's from a church called People's Church. It's a storied church up there in Fresno. Been there for a long time. It's just a great church, and he's a great communicator there. I'll tell you another thing about Dale. Is Dudley has a great deal of trust in, because pastors do not let other pastors come to their church to talk about giving. They just don't. So Dudley has a great deal of trust in him and his use of God's word, and has a great deal of love for him. Again, I was talking to Dudley earlier. He is like family to him because he's taken his brother under his wing, has taken his dad as he's dealt with his health under his wing, and been a pastor to them. So Dale is a very, very, very good friend of Dudley's. And we want you to give him a warm welcome, and no pressure, but I also heard Dudley tell Dale in the green room, he said, Dale, I know you've preached all over the world and preached a lot of people. We've never preached to a church like this church where these people just hunger and thirst and respond to God's word. So no pressure, but you better stay awake. And you better pay attention, because he's going to be watching. Will you please welcome Dale Oquist as he comes to preach for us tonight.
Hey, Shepherd Church! I'm already discouraged. I talked to the people that, you know, kind of are in charge around here about this whole March 2nd and 3rd t-shirt giveaway. And because I want one of those t-shirts. And they said, well, are you going to be here on March 2nd and 3rd? And I said, no. And they, so I said, but, you know, I'm here and, you know, we're like family, right? So if we can make a, maybe someone can help me out here. I'll give you my address and you can send me one. But then that meeting, you have to give up your shirt. Anyway, great to see you tonight. How are you? I knew of Pastor Dudley long before I knew him. I knew of him because of the Fresno connection that was just mentioned by Tim, that with Dave in town, and then the famous Dean Rutherford. Yes. And so it's an honor to be here with you this weekend, and I'm so glad that you you would open your hearts, open your minds, because I know here's what happened, is Pastor Dudley, he called the best preacher in America to preach on this topic, and he got turned down. And then he called the best-looking preacher in America and got turned down. And then the most intellectual to talk about stewardship, and he got turned down. And a few weeks ago, my assistant said to me, hey, I got this guy Dudley Rutherford on the phone, and he wants you to speak the 16th and 17th of February. And I said, well, I've already turned him down three times. I should probably just accept the invitation now. Last week, you heard about King David. We're talking about the LA Kings, about stewardship, and about how you manage your time, your treasure, and your talents will increase your capability to make a difference right here in Los Angeles. So I'm going to talk specifically about your treasure. I was reading about Solomon. Now, Solomon, we want to talk about Solomon in 1 Chronicles, the last chapter of 1 Chronicles 29. The first nine verses, if you're looking at it, first nine verses, David is setting up Solomon, his son, to be not only the king, but to build the temple that David did not and was not able to build. And David starts off and takes this offering, and the leaders give sacrificially, and that prompts everyone to give, and they take this incredible, incredible offering for the building of the temple. It's the second half. It's David's prayer and beyond. There are some phrases that really stuck out to me. If you're there in the 1 Chronicles 29, David is praying, starting in verse 10. Praise be to the Lord, Yahweh, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Verse 12, wealth and honor come from you. Do you see these phrases? They come from you. You are the ruler of all things. And then after the prayer, he says, verse 14, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. And then in verse 16, Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand because it all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. So what I want to do, if you would allow me, you have little choice actually, is to allow me to take you on a journey. I'm going to start to teach now, and you're going to go, what is he talking about? And where is he going? And why is he, just if you stick with me, all right? And then it will all come around to make some sense, all right? It sounds worse than it actually is going to be. All right? It all comes... King Solomon and David both knew of the way in which God provided for them and how God had given them everything anyway, so it was all God's. And everything that you have is God's, right? So here's the question. Would you say you put God first in your life? Does that mean that you think about God more than anything else? That you put His will and desires over your will and desires? Does that mean that you would prioritize God over your family? Does that mean that God has your talents? Does that mean that you prioritize God with your time? Does that mean even your money? How are you as far as firstness? I tweaked my Achilles toward the beginning of the year, my left Achilles tendon. And so then I went to a physical therapist, and he started working on me. And then one of the things he started to work on the flexibility of my hip. It hurts down here, not up here. But, well, this all goes together. Okay. So he has me laying on my side. So picture me laying on my side, right? And he takes this left side where the Achilles is, and he starts to bend it back, okay, to check out my flexibility. Now, as he is manipulating, it feels like my foot is about to touch the back of my head. And he goes, oh. And he starts to talk about how and this is how far back he had it right there. That's how far back it was. and he's going, well, you're, and he's saying, I'm feeling like I'm super flexible at this moment. And he's saying, you're not very flexible. You know, this is zero, and this is how far you can go, and you're not very, and I'm still not believing this. So I look. Sure enough. And I think at times that's the way kind of it is, even with our own, how we think we put God's, we have God in such a high place and priority in our lives, when in actuality, maybe we don't. Maybe we aren't stretched as far as we could be. So now I have to do exercises. There is a way in which God designed for firstness to be seen in their lives. The first things, it was always called the devoted thing in Scripture, that the Lord established early on, the law of first things. And these first things were always called devoted things. And the definition of a devoted thing was an irrevocable giving to the Lord to be destroyed or consumed, usually by fire. This is the sacrificial system. Okay, so let's look in our Bibles. It's going to be on the screens, but we're going to look in Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. This is where you're going to start to go, what is he doing? What is he talking about? You're going to stick with me, right? Yes? Yes? All right. Chapter 13, verse 1, Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, this is now early on in their history, consecrate, devote, is another word, devote. To me, every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal. The first belongs to me. Verse 11. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you as your ancestors. This is now the Israelites go ahead 500 years, the Israelites going into the promised land through the Jordan River. After they do that, you are to give over, verse 12, to the Lord the offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. And if you're sleeping now, you'll wake up when it says this. If you do not redeem it, break its neck. Do you see that? Do you see that? Yes or no? All right. Are we friends yet? Redeem every firstborn among your sons. Okay, so now God is establishing this first stuff. And he did it through a sacrificial system. In your notes, you see this. The sacrificial system used five animals that were called clean animals. A bull, a ram, sheep, a goat, and for the poor, a turtle dove. These are the five sacrificial animals. Every other animal was called what? Unclean. Clean and unclean. So he uses a donkey as an illustration in verse 11 following. So he doesn't have anything against donkeys. Nothing against donkeys. He's just using that as an example that a donkey is not sacrifice material. So you have to give something, the firstborn donkey, you have to put something in its place that is sacrifice material so that you can continue to use it. And he says this, if you don't redeem it, if you don't sacrifice for it, then what do you do? What do you do? You break its neck. He doesn't have anything against donkeys. What he's saying is this: when that firstborn donkey has had a sacrifice, now it is free and it is redeemed. But if it's not, then God is saying, if you haven't paid for that donkey, you don't use that donkey. If you haven't paid for that donkey and by giving a sacrifice to me, then you need to break its neck, because by using it, you will bring more harm upon your family if you don't first redeem it. Okay? This is what he's establishing. So let's get some laws established here. There's three quick laws that I want you to see that are in your notes. The first is this. This is the fundamental principles of first things. Here we go. Ready? Number one. God sees the first of anything as the root, say root, that governs all the rest. He sees the first as the what? The root that governs the rest. Romans 11:16 says, if the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the roots are holy, then the branches are holy. So therefore, God sees the first as that which represents and governs the rest. Second principle is, the first represents the totality. The first represents the totality. Say totality. What the first is, follow me here. What the first is and what is done with it determines what happens to all the rest. What the first is and what is done with it determines what happens to all the rest. Because the first shows priority. The first establishes totality. A study was done by even some couples that were meeting for the very first time. And it said that in the first 3 minutes of meeting for the very first time, not only determined how the date would go, it determined how the future relationship would go. Because the first determines the rest. Lastly, the third principle of first things is this. The first is always the Lord's, and it is devoted to consumption. The first is always the Lord's, and it is devoted to consumptions. The rules were it would either be sacrificed or it was redeemed. If something was a firstborn of sacrifice material, a bull, a ram, a sheep, a goat, a turtle dove, the firstborn of that could not be redeemed. It had to be sacrificed. Everything else, the firstborn of everything else now has to be redeemed. Got that? Now again, when I start to talk about this, I get very passionate about this because this has changed my life and changed our family. And I'm gonna present to you what I have experienced, and then you can do with it as you wish. But the fact is that I get very passionate about this because I do believe this would not only change your life, but increase your capacity to make a difference here in Los Angeles. But let's look at some of the examples of these first things throughout Scripture. The first is the Passover. So you have the 10 plagues, the people of Israel about to be released and delivered through with Moses from the from the bondage in Egypt, and there were 10 plagues that led up to that, and the last was the plague of the death of the firstborn, right? And then what happened was, is if any family had sacrificed a lamb and put that blood over the doorpost, then as the angel, the death angel, passed over, the family would be spared the death of the firstborn in that household, right? Right. Now, so it's you have to sacrifice the lamb to redeem the firstborn child. And I personally believe that if an Egyptian family would have done the same thing, their firstborn would have been spared as well. Abraham and Isaac. Abraham and Sarah have waited for many years, and now they're in triple digits as far as age, and they have a son named Isaac. And God asks Abraham to offer up Isaac, his firstborn, to him. He's 33 years old, probably in that age. And now God says to Abraham, take your son, your only son, up to the mountain and sacrifice him. Why doesn't Abraham flinch at this? The reason I don't believe he flinches at this, I'm not saying it was easy, but that he understands this is because Abraham understands the law of first things. God has promised him a nation, and that if Abraham gives him his son, he will get a nation of sons. Because of this, they go up to the top of the mountain, Mount Moriah, which is where the Holy of Holies, the temple is, where the temple was. And then he's about to sacrifice his son, and what happens? There is something in the thickets. What is it? A ram. Is that one of the five animals? Yes, it is. It's a sacrificial animal. And now he's able to sacrifice that animal in Isaac's place because of the fact that Isaac is a type of Christ. And now we see God come on the scene as Jehovah Jireh. And we say the Lord will provide. But the idea there is that God's provision will be seen. God's provision will be seen. Meaning this, a lot of us want to sit on the back of our laps at the bottom of the hill and watch God provide for us when it doesn't happen until we get to the top of the hill, right? When we obey and we are trust and we trust God enough to obey to say, I'm going to do this. Now that's when the provision comes, because provision follows vision. The last example I want to give from the Bible of first things is the story of Jericho, the first city of conquest. Now, not only for 400 years, but now for 40 years, the people of Israel have wandered throughout the wilderness, and now they've crossed over the Jordan River, and now in front of them is Jericho. And God has said in Joshua chapter 6, six times, how many times? The word devoted thing shows up in chapter 6, six times. Jericho was called the devoted thing. Everything, verse 17, everything is to be devoted to God. That means that none of it is theirs. Now remember this, they have wandered for 40 years. They have been enslaved for 400 years. They have no property of their own. They have known nothing of their own. They have nothing. They have had nothing for 40 years and for 400 years. And now God is saying, you're going to conquer this place and you get none of it. And they rejoiced, the Bible says. They shouted and they rejoiced. Why? Because they understood the principle of first things. And that is this, that if we give this city to God, every city after this is ours. And everyone trusted God except for Achan. Achan didn't. He saw those Nordstrom garments in that tent. Couldn't help it, took some, and all of Israel paid the price, right? Because it was the devoted thing. It was not meant for anything but to be given to the Lord. Now here's the question. Does God, we've laid this foundation, now does God live by his own law of giving? Does God live by his own law, or is God above this law? John 3:16 says, for God so loved you and me, the world, that he gave his one and only, that would be firstborn, right? That he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is God's firstborn, and God lives by his own law. Jesus is about 30 years old when he's walking along the shores of the Jordan River, and his cousin, who's 6 months older than him, John the Baptist, is waist high in that very Jordan River. And he has just completed baptizing a bunch of converts when he sees Jesus walking. And remember what he said of Jesus? He looked at him and he pointed as he's waist deep in the Jordan River and he says, look, the what? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God is the Lamb on your list. Yes. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In that moment, John, speaking prophetically, seals Jesus' destiny. A lamb, a clean animal, could not be redeemed but had to be sacrificed. And the difference between Jesus and us this very night is that Jesus is sacrifice material and you and I are not, right? We were born in sin. We were unclean. Therefore, we cannot be sacrificed. We can only be redeemed. And when you commemorated and celebrated communion this very night, it's called common union, that you are again united and you again come and you understand the price that Jesus paid, because we can't be sacrificed. We can only be redeemed. And that's by Jesus Christ. So let me show you how this comes back to even to stewardship in my own life. 2 Corinthians verse 8, 5 says this, chapter 8, verse 5 says, they gave themselves first to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8, 5, they gave themselves first to the Lord. First to the Lord. That when we put God first, it's a form of worship in our lives. And next in your notes is that worship is a synonym for devotion. Worship is a synonym for devotion. And the devoted thing is always those first fruits. Now, I get to this moment because this is where it gets personal for me, is because even in my own life, with my family for years. I grew up in church. I grew up in a great church, and in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, just to let you know. And I got excited because even in my life, I was giving 10% of my income, but it just didn't seem like I was getting ahead. And then you come and you have in your notes, Haggai 1. A few verses from Haggai 1, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I wasn't making God a priority. He wasn't first in my life because I wasn't giving him, it didn't matter what 10% I gave him, I just gave him 10%, but he wasn't first. He wasn't the priority, which means prior to all others. This happened in the Old Testament. This is what the Lord Almighty says. This is in your notes. These people say, the time has not yet. It has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then verse 2, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai and said, it is time. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Who's first in your life? Because look at this, verses 5 and 6. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. It's because even God spoke to me, because I haven't been your priority, and he wasn't their priority. Because our priorities determine the decisions that we make, including with our resources, right? They were wanting to delay their obedience to do what they were supposed to do with God's house. They wanted to delay their obedience, but only never knowing and never realizing that delayed obedience is what? Disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. So I realized that I wasn't giving God first in my life. Now, let me show you what I mean by this with an illustration. Are you okay with that for the next few minutes? Okay, so I have 10 people coming. I have 10 people coming up here. They're going to help me show you what I mean here. All right, 10 people, come on up. Okay. You're going to be, you're number one, right? Okay, so you're number one. You're number two. So let's keep them in, go right in order. You can be three. You'll be four. You can be five. You be six. What do you want to be? Seven, eight, nine, or 10? Seven? Okay, good. 10? You want to be 10? Okay. Eight and nine. Okay, so get in order. Okay, now, so I want you to see this. 10. This represents your every point of harvest in your life. This represents your paycheck. That there are 10 portions to your, did you know that there's 10 portions to your paycheck? Did you know that? There are. It can be broken down. This is 100%. So now watch this. This is what I was doing. This is what I was doing. I got my paycheck and I got my harvest from the Lord, and then I would pay my house payment. Mm-hmm. These two. No, just stay over there. And then I'd pay PG&E. Right? And then I'd pay a school bill, and then I'd pay for some clothes, maybe some food, and then I'd give God this portion right here. I'd make sure that I had enough to give God 10%. Seeing where this is going? What's the first principle of the first things? The first is the root that governs the rest, right? So that means what I realized was this. There is only one tenth that can redeem all the rest. There's only one tenth that can multiply the other parts. And which tenth is that, friends? The first tenth. I'm sorry, you're number five, but you can't redeem the rest. Seven, it's a great number. That's God's perfect number, but you can't. It's only this tenth that can redeem all the rest. Because, friends, listen. There's no faith in number nine, right? If you pay your house payment and PG&E and school bills and then you pay God, there's no faith in that. I'll just see if I have anything left over. There's only one that has faith attached to it, and it's this one right here. Because what the first is and what is done with this will determine what happens with all the rest. You guys can go. Thank you very much. You can give them all to Kelly. Now, all right. Let's say, what's your name? Barry. What is it? Barry? Okay, Barry. Let's say this is your key, okay? This is your key, right? Okay. And you, Barry, have loaned me your vehicle for a week. You said, Dale, take it, use it, enjoy it, whatever you want. Just, you know, I borrowed this vehicle from you, right? Okay, so. Then at the end of the week, Barry, I come back to you and I say, Barry, you know what? I'm out of the graciousness of my heart, I'm going to give this vehicle to you. What do you say? Sarcastically, you say thank you, because what are you thinking? He goes, I can't say it in church. Right? You'd say, you're giving me back what's already mine. Right? When you give the first tenth, guess what? You're only giving back to God what's already His. So therefore, this is what I've discovered in my own life. This is what I've discovered. And this is what we say at People's Church: generosity doesn't start until 11%. Because it's all God's. It's all God's. Now, this is not about getting God off your back as far as money goes. This is not about God needing your money. What money does is it shows us the firstness, the priority of who God is in our lives. Because if you aren't giving God your first tenth, maybe it's, what about your time? What about, because this is more than money for me. What about the first words of my day? What about the first thoughts that I have during the day? What if I just sanctify those? Because those will determine how I think the rest of the day. How, what are you saying when you get up? Ah. That'll determine how your day goes. My back hurts, my Achilles hurts, my hip is terrible. I talked to my wife and I just was asking Joni, I said, Joni, since we became passionate about giving and tithing, have we had to pray? And I thought I knew the answer, but I said, have we had to pray for a financial miracle in our lives since we became passionate about tithing? And she said, nope. And it's true. Because if you read the whole book of Joshua, miracles and the miraculous comes not through praying and believing, it's through obedience. When you start to obey, watch what happens. And watch as a church, as you continue, not only, you have already made a huge impact here and you are already known not only in Porter Ranch and in Los Angeles and in all of California, but you are known across this country and around this world. But can you imagine God increasing your capacity to make a greater difference in LA and around the world? When I was born, there was a destiny placed on my life. There was a divine purpose that God had for me. And the enemy of my soul has his desires to put his mark on me as well. But what God has planned for me is prosperity and joy and happiness, direction and influence and strength. And what the enemy has for me is disease and destitution, sickness, discord. And depending upon where I will put the firstness of God in my life will determine the path that my life takes. And my desire for us tonight is first and foremost, you are not sacrifice material. Aren't you glad for that? But you are redemption material. That your life can be redeemed by Jesus, and that everything about your life can point in the direction that God is truly first, and that it all belongs to Him, and that we could show Him in a very concrete, visceral way of His firstness and His priority in our lives. Will you stand with me and pray? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your goodness, your grace, your love, and your mercy. And I speak right now that you are going to do a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, that you take even our dollars and our resources and give us a greater capacity to reach LA, California, and the world together. For your glory and for the sake of your reputation, I pray. Amen.